This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, as much as we focused on disclosure, the prospects what the government might know, I'm really enjoying this personal story from Stephen Bassett about how he got from there to here. Randall, you want to continue?
Right. So this was in 1996. And thanks for sharing this because, you know, you've got so many other videos out there that people can watch. And we hear in them, you know, a lot of the same stuff over again about what you've been doing and what the government does. But we don't hear a lot about Stephen Bassett and what's really motivating you and what has been motivating you since 1996. I mean, you keep at it, even though year after year, you know, we think it's going to happen and we get really close and then, you know, once again, we get shut out. So, you know, what is it that keeps you going?
I should add that the reason you don't hear much about me is that's by intention. I don't like to talk about me. I don't bring myself into this often. I just don't, because I'm just not that important. And my life is not particularly profound. And that's just me. That's how I approach things. But there's a time and a place for that. And I think this is, it's great to talk about this. I like doing it at this point. It's cool. In 96, maybe this way. When you have a purpose in life, it's amazing how things happen easier and how decisions are made better because you have a context, you have structure. It's the difference between running into the wind and running with the wind. I was a marathoner, triathlon, all that kind of stuff. That's how I kept saying for about 20-some years. And so I know what it's like to run or a bicycle into the wind as opposed to with it. And once I got into this issue and had this purpose, things just started going better in spite of limited resources. I was making good decisions and things were moving forward. And the key decision I made right after heading down to Bethesda, planned to do when I got to Bethesda, was to register as lobbyist. I knew that I was certain there was no registered lobbyist on this issue, and that I would be the first. Okay, fine. But what does it matter if nobody knows? Well, I was aware that all lobbying registrations are scrutinized by the Washington Post and other entities, because who's lobbying for who is actually a big deal. And at any time, you can have a Sigur's lobbying firm register on behalf of a country or a major corporation with significant implications for government policy. And so they check them all. And so I was pretty sure when my lobbying registration came across their desk, they were going to do a WTF, and I was going to hear from them. And that's exactly what happened. Not that long after I had my registration had gone through, I got a call from the Washington Post, and they wanted to interview me, kind of see what's what. And they did a huge front-page article of the business section of the Post, which is archived on my website, with a massive photo. That's the good news. The bad news, one of the worst photos of me ever taken. And I was off to the races. I mean, that's all it took. At that point, I knew I was going to get more media and that I had a basis to approach conferences and so forth. But the key decision was, yeah, register as a lobbyist. And 23 years later, I believe I am still the only registered lobbyist on this issue. Chase Kotsky, I think, registered with a state for a while, but she's not federal registered right now. She may do so she can become the second at any time. I don't think any of the two of the Stars Academy people have registered as lobbyists at this point. That was just a great decision. I didn't plan that, but it was like, right, that's a good decision. And I made a few other decisions which proved to be good ones, because when you have a purpose, you just are able to – when you don't have a purpose, when you're just trying to get through life and you're reacting to everything on a day-to-day basis, there's no long-term plan, boy, you can make a bad decision about every 16 minutes. So that's kind of the key to why things have moved forward.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing that. And so that really makes this a lot clearer. It sounds like a really constructive way to approach the issue. And it seemed logical, too, for someone who has looked at the issue and thinks, well, you know, the government must know something. I might as well become a lobbyist.
Well, yeah, the government does know something.
Yeah.
And so, they're not telling us, and that's a political decision, so lobby them to change the decision.
Okay, so now with all of that sort of context in place, we can get into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. When do you think that the people, the higher-ups, like, say, you know, in the I'm not as familiar with the U.S. system. I'm not even that familiar with the Canadian system. I'm not into politics at all. But it seems to me that down or in any system out there, but let's say in the States, you've got a group of politicians who are at the top. You've got the president and all of the, his or her advisors, and you've got Congress people and so on. Well, how connected are they really to what's really going on? Like when you have pilots like David Fravor, you know, in an F-15 looking at one. And where's the disconnect between what's going on out there in the real world where this is happening and the political people down there?
Mm. Yeah. A few thousand books are going to be written about the answer to your question. The history of the ET issue, meaning the total history of it, including everything the government has done or said both privately and secretly, is vast. It's probably every bit as vast as the full history of the U.S. government's actions, statements, policies, both secret and public, with respect to the nuclear arms race in the Soviet Union. It's vast. So, and until disclosure has taken place, the ability to properly research all of that and put it together for posterity is simply not possible, but people have tried to do their best. And we have some ideas, we have some glimpses, but we also have a whole lot of speculation and theories. That's the nature of secrecy. It literally denies people the truth, and it denies history and accounting. And it allows people to be unaccountable. Secrecy is one of those substances which in small doses may have some benefit, but in large doses will simply kill you. So it's difficult to answer your question. It's just very complicated. But the simplest thing I can say would be that the people should try to, you know, consider is that from the very beginning, from day one, of the modern era, which we'll say starts with Roswell.
Sure, 47.
There have been people in the political class, people in the military arena, and people in the intelligence arena whose personal philosophy and worldview is such that the people of the world need to know about this. This is simply too big to withhold. And at the same time, there were people in all of these arenas who felt, no, the people can't know about it. And so this 73 history, the internal history, is undoubtedly a kind of back and forth, somewhat of a tug of war between these two camps. And you get glimpses of moments when the pro-disclosure, of course, this term did not come into play until the 90s, early 90s. I think it's a toss-up between me and Stephen Greer as to, well, I think the both of us together sort of developed the term disclosure and made it prominent, made it important. I was responsible for truth embargo. This language change, by the way, is very important in activism. In order to succeed in activism, you also have to change the language because the language has invariably been constructed by the government to serve their policy. And so if you use their language, you're de facto serving the policy. So you see these glimpses over the years where the pro-disclosure faction within the government, maybe even in the military area, military intelligence complex, or even in politics, pushed a little something out. They made a move, I guess you could say. And it would emerge, and you'd see something happening, and then it would be pulled back. And that's happened. So What the difference between now and then is that the moves being made are far more overt, far broader, far more significant than ever.
Okay. We're going to break here, folks. Yeah. Stephen Bassett is covering the history of the efforts towards disclosure and what we may or may not know. We've got much more to come. I have a couple of questions, Stephen, in our next segment. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Gene Randall and Stephen. Now, Stephen, I've been listening to the discussion so far as we get towards the halfway point of the show. And you are coming across as having an insider's knowledge of the byplay among the various authorities through the years with regard to disclosure. How do you come by this information?
This is somewhat of an illusion. Unlike others in the field, colleagues of mine, I've had very little insider connections, very little insider connection. I essentially was a civilian out of left field with no money, no gravitas, no credentials. And so there was little or no chance that I was going to be able to, quote, make what we'll call firm, significant connections with high-level people inside. So there's been very little of that. Over the years, I've had my moments where I'm talking to people that are, quote, inside and getting some confirmation of the fundamental truths, which is nice. It's nice to get that. But there are others far more connected than I. When I talk about this issue, I'm giving you my view of the history based upon paying attention for 23 years. If you pay attention to something enough, you can make cogent statements about it. It's appropriate that you try to make it clear when you're being speculative, particularly when you're being very speculative. But at some point, you get a pretty good idea of what's going on, and because there's plenty of information out there. It's not as if everything is hidden by any means. And so I may sound like an insider at times, but I'm not. With very few exceptions, there's very little that I'm not telling people. I tell people about everything. There are a few exceptions where I've got information that I cannot relate, but not many. So the answer to your question is, I sound like an insider, which I think is cool. I consider that a compliment, unless a lot of what I'm saying is completely bogus, in which case, that's not a good thing.
You know, what I'm seeing here is I think it's perfectly legitimate to call you a researcher, a civilian researcher. And what you've done, and especially if people go to your website at the paradigmresearchgroup.org, is they can look through a lot of documents and stuff that you've collected that supports your view. So it's not like you're just someone who's gone out there and says, hey, you know, I'm Steve, just listen to me because, you know, what I say happens to be the case. You back it up with all kinds of, I'm just looking at a really interesting page here, a list of quotations from people. This is really quite fascinating. It's really amazing that people, when they take the time to do their homework, tend to arrive at the same conclusion.
That's what it's supposed to be. Right? If you've got two groups of scientists studying atomic physics, if they are making a legitimate effort to get to the truth, you want them to both arrive at the same conclusion. But let me add something here to clarify. I'm not a researcher, believe it or not. What I do is I utilize and draw upon the research of others who are researchers, those things that I think serve the disclosure process. Not everything that comes out of the research on this subject is useful for the political disclosure process, but a lot of it is. So I draw on them, and a lot of these researchers are talking to insiders.
Right. But
I'm a cover artist. I don't go on shows and say, "Wow, I just got back from South America, and I have discovered No. I draw on that. So, and then the website. There's huge amounts of resources on that website. It's really quite profound, I think. But those resources are not put there just to back up my view. They are put there for people to review and come to their own conclusions, whether it's the huge, vast print media archive of nearly 13,000 articles, video archive, quotes, and, of course, material on conferences, all this stuff. You could spend a lot of time there, but it's designed for people to very quickly be able to go and read up on this, learn, understand, and then come to their own conclusions. I do not, in print articles, for instance, I don't put up skeptical articles, ridiculous skeptical articles that are written by debunkers. I don't put those up. But I do put up articles which are challenging some of the key points, what I consider in an appropriate, intelligent way. But there's no question that the site is biased toward the truth of the ET presence. I won't deny that, which I consider an absolute fact. So I won't say that it's not without some inflection towards confirmation.
You know, that's like the late Stanton Friedman said, I'm a non-apologist ufologist. I mean, I think it's wonderful for people to come out and just say, hey, look, this is what I believe, and be brave enough to do that. I do the same thing. I believe without any reservation that alien visitation is a reality. Mm-hmm. Exactly where they're coming from, I'm not entirely sure. Exactly how they get here, I'm not sure. There's a whole mess of foggy details that we don't know for sure, but I don't think that should take away from the fact that when you sift through all of this stuff, what you get out is the aliens are here, or at least have been here And that alone should be enough. What the skeptics do is they start tearing apart and picking apart little pieces to try and discredit that basic truth. You know, so what if some of them are hoaxes or some of them aren't? We're still left with this residual amount that you just can't explain reasonably any other way.
Agreed. It's been established. It's proven. It's proven. It's that simple. So now the question is, what do you do about it? The fact that the government has continued to deny this fact is a non-trivial political problem. And it's connected to a lot of other problems because the embargo on the ET issue is part of the larger national security state where vast amounts of information is withheld from the public for national security reasons, which has essentially become a blanket for everything. It is a path that ultimately leads to bad outcomes. And we've gone down that path, and we've done it in a constitutional republic where people have a lot of influence. We hold a lot of elections here. And yet the people have gone along with it, and the reason is, and this is where it gets interesting, the ET issue is not obviously why the general public has stood staunchly behind the building of the largest national security state in history. It's the Cold War and the nuclear threat. Because people were pretty much convinced, and rightly so, that we'd finally gotten to a point as a species where we had the weapons to destroy the entire species. And since given our past history, that's exactly what we intended to do. And we had seen those bombs dropped in Japan. We got very good visuals as to what happens there. And so now we're in a nuclear arms race with the Soviet Union, and the government's basically saying, we got to do what we got to do to protect you from being blown up in a nuclear explosion. And the American people said, whatever you want to do, you got open ticket, carte blanche, all the money you want. And so they then were able to build that national security structure, which, as it happened, also contained the reality of the ET presence. And so without that national security structure, I can say quite firmly that if for whatever reason we had had rapprochement with the Soviet Union, our great ally that lost 20 million people defeating the Reich, and got along with him and said, look, you guys seem to be trying the extreme socialist experiment with communism. We're not saying when that's going to work, but I'll give it a shot, but let's all get along. And there wasn't a nuclear arms race. We'd have had disclosure way back. Many years ago, 50, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But the nuclear arms race affected every aspect of American society, every worldview of every person living in this country, policies, opportunities, the vast sums of money, trillions of dollars spent on this, quote, Cold War and the proxy wars.
More to come. Prepare our next segment with Stephen Bassett. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
A British oil tanker was seized in the Strait of Hormuz by Iranian forces while another was temporarily stopped and sent on its way. Here's the words of British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt.
Stena Impro was seized in Omani waters in clear contravention of international law. This is totally and utterly unacceptable. It raises very serious questions about the security of British shipping and indeed international shipping.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard claims that they seized the tanker for violating international regulations. Three members of a now-defunct white supremacist group were sentenced to more than 2 years in prison for punching, kicking, and choking counter-demonstrators at a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville and events in California. Benjamin Daly, Thomas Gillen, and Michael Macellis were members of the group known as the Rise Above Movement, and the U.S. Attorney's Office sentenced them yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we're talking about here the national security state. So we should listen to the words of warning of President Eisenhower about the military-industrial complex. Isn't that what it was all about?
Absolutely. Though the proper phrase would have been military intelligence industrial complex, MIIC. I like to call it just MIC, but that was in fact he was addressing what he'd already seen is they'd already built the foundation by the time he left office in 70 or 60 rather. And, they were probably up to the third floor or rather they were in the third basement level and he saw what was going on and he realized this was not going to go probably well. And he warned us. But remember, we're still in the nuclear arms race. We still have a Cold War underway. By 60, there were enough weapons out there to do enough damage that we would be extremely distraught. And so that's about as far as Eisenhower could go. He could have gone further. Eisenhower could have sat down with the New York Times a week after he left office and spilled the beans on a ton of stuff and opened up cans of worms and changed the course of history. But, I mean, he was a military leader, the Soviet Union was an existential threat. And so he just gave us a little clue. And it was a good effort because that clue has never gone away. It's referred to. It's on the Internet. You can find it everywhere you want. However, that was 59 years ago. And everything that he warned us about has happened because we haven't been able to take appropriate action as a democratic republic. The people have been barred from being able to help fix the problem. And ultimately, the journalists were barred, in a sense, from fixing the problem. And so if you've got a serious illness and you won't see a doctor and you won't let someone come see you and you won't take any medicine and you're just going to sit there, you're going to die. And that's kind of what's happening in the United States. We have prevented the ability to fix the issues and problems that we created, thus ensuring that they would fester and be prolonged.
Well, I remember listening to Obama, who, by the way, I really liked much more so than the current person in office. But I remember he was making a national address and he said, this is your president. The system is broken.
Everybody's been saying the system is broken.
You know, when your own president says the system is broken,
sure.
Really, I mean, so how do you fix it then? I mean, that's a real conundrum.
Well, in order to fix it, you have to fix the structures. You have to fix the institutions that are designed to deal with that. I mean, the Constitution created the basis for us to fix just about anything. But if we choose not to use it. But in order to use it, you have to be able to function in healthy ways. And that has been taken away. The electoral system, the election process is broken.
Okay, but we don't want to get too far off track here. I do happen to agree with you, though, and I think those are really good points. And another really good point you make is it's not just the industrial side of it, it's the intelligence side of it. Yeah, what you've got is like after, of course, and the Cold War, definitely. So you look at, is it any coincidence that the CIA was formed in 1947? I mean, okay, this was after World War II, and then you get the nuclear weaponry coming in, and then the CIA is formed in 47, same year as Roswell, and then they get involved in the Robertson panel and say, we can't be having any of this UFO stuff clogging up all our communication channels, and so from now on, it's all hush-hush.
Yeah, think of the last 70 years, if you want to. Think of these two issues, the extraterrestrial presence and all of that implications, the nuclear arms race and all of its implications, which is the Cold War. Think of those two past, you know, literally winding like a double helix, right? The DNA of our disorder, winding through that 70-year period, coming forward as a growing double helix, intertwined around each other. That's, I think, a way to look at it. But from the national security perspective, the nuclear arms race was number one. The key issue was number two. And they were able to table that a lot. They were able to suppress that. The nuclear arms race, obviously, they didn't want to suppress it. They wanted everybody to know about it. But they weren't going to tell you how they were dealing with it. There were plenty of secrets. But they weren't denying that there was a Soviet Union or that there were nuclear weapons there that could harm us. Of course not. In the ET issue, they took a more radical approach. They denied the very presence of the ETs, which they needed to do, because unlike the Soviet Union, the ETs could do any damn thing they wanted. They could contain the Soviet Union in a lot of ways. They could not contain the ETs. They could do whatever they wanted, and they knew that. So they had to deal with that. And let me tell you, what they accomplished was extraordinary. History will be pretty, I think, praiseworthy on this. You pulled off an unbelievable what we'll call public relations propaganda maneuver. You were able to contain the presence of extraterrestrials who could go and come as they please and were being seen all over the world by millions of people. You were able to keep that contained for 72 years, which is phenomenal.
It's really amazing. I mean, looking back into history, you know, it was suggested by them that they have case studies, and this is what they do to people. They have case studies that would be presented for the purpose of baiting viewers with an interesting UFO story and then deflate them later by revealing some sort of mundane explanation. And they even talked about getting Disney Corporation involved in all of this. I mean, that's how deep it went and how important the cultural aspect of it was to them to keep it suppressed. And all allegedly so that, well, we can't have any UFO chatter clogging up our intelligence channels between the Russians and the rest of the world and the rest of the other foreign nations, because the nuclear situation is far too important. And that was their excuse.
Yeah. If you were, that's why very few people over this period made the decision to directly confront the government in a political way about the embargo or what was eventually the cover up. I'm not saying others didn't put pressure in various ways, but I mean in an overt political way, you're going to change that policy. Research is different. You could go out and study a sighting. You could go and look at archives, look at documents and learn material, put it in a paper, put it in a book, publish it, no big deal. But when you're talking about confronting the government directly, the people in this field have no resources, very little money. They have to work to make a living. The government has billions and billions and billions of dollars, supercomputers, all kinds of personnel, vast secrecy to protect them. They can game this issue all they want. In other words, we use computers to study reactions.
Right.
How people, yeah. I mean, they had all the resources, and you're up against that. And you're going to get them to change a policy. It would have been, yeah, I tell you what, the closest thing to what the disclosure movement has tried to do would be the anti-nuke movement, which exists and has been around by nuke. I'm talking about nuclear weapons.
Yeah, there's also a parallel there, isn't there?
There is.
That's actually a really good comparison.
And I'm not going to include nuclear power plants. There's anti-nuke, right, and also include that. Let's just talk about nuclear weapons.
Sure.
So you've got people out there going back a long ways who devoted their time and effort, maybe even a good portion of their entire life, to trying to convince the government to change a policy. What that policy was massive nuclear arms in a mutual assured destruction mode with the Soviet Union. And guess what? They got nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Let me take that back. The anti-nuke movement, I think, did help to possibly facilitate some of the treaties that ultimately took place in terms of arms reductions and so forth. But certainly it didn't succeed in having the government say, commit to, oh yeah, we're going to get rid of the nukes. We're going to end this arms race and so forth. No, obviously it hasn't ended, but there has been a reduction in nukes. Limited results. They were pretty much the same situation we are. And I think we've had greater success.
Hey, we're going to break for a moment here with Stephen Bassett, Paradigm Research Group, talking about UFO disclosure, and maybe we're on the road this time with Gina Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, over the show, you've pointed out that maybe things are getting better now. You've made predictions over the years. I guess a lot of it is a hope that this is the year it's going to happen, and it hasn't. And of course, that doesn't help. You don't like to be proven wrong. What did happen? What led you to believe we were on the way?
Let's be clear here. Prediction of it's going to happen at a certain time is one thing. And I don't do that. What I have done, and sometimes I probably slid into the predictive mode, and it could happen, and it's not appropriate. What I have tried to do over the years is give a sense to people of the prospects of it, which have fluctuated substantially over the last 23 years that I've been involved. So one year, there's a lot of promising indications, and another year, nothing. And there have been times, clearly, when I was not saying disclosure was even likely at all. I created the paradigm clock, which still exists, but it's in suspension, to sort of demonstrate this fluctuation, how things would get closer, and then they would move back away from midnight, just like the doomsday clock of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. They would move it closer to midnight if circumstances warranted it. By the way, recently they put it at 2 minutes, which is the closest it's ever been to midnight since they created it in 1947.
So our clock has started right now, folks. This show will never be heard because of that.
There have been times when I said, look, this, and I'm doing that because I'm an activist. My job is to motivate people, to get people involved. And people are not going to get involved if the prevailing sentiment is there's no chance in hell that you can penetrate the government's embargo. So I try to motivate them. And there have been times when I would say that this looks like a very good possibility this year. It could happen this year. But I don't predict, yes, it is going to happen this year. But I think on occasion, because I do a lot of interviews, I might have tossed some words in there that gave that impression. And that's not appropriate. I can't say it's going to happen this year. I'm not going to predict it's going to happen this year. Well, but I know an awful lot of what's going on. And I can tell you the potential for it to happen this year is high.
Steve, you know, I when you do make as many appearances as you do and you're in this field, there's a bunch of people who are going to be listening who are interested. There's a bunch of people who are going to think, oh, there's, you know, another tinfoil hat wearing UFO guy. And so people are going to take what you say and read it through their own filters and come back at you with whatever their particular biases are. So say someone, you know, like myself, I'll look at it and you'll say, oh, yeah, you know, I think we're going to get it this year. It's coming out. I'd say maybe November. You know, I look at it like, and you said previously, I think you were into stocks and trading and
finances and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you hear those guys say that all the time. You know, silver is going to go to $60. I mean, I think silver is artificially deflated still personally. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, people don't come down so hard on them. It's just like, look, you've got an enthusiasm for this. You're motivated. You're driven. You see certain signs and you say, yeah, you know, I really think it could happen. So I think that's perfectly fair. I don't think we always, you know, people have to be so hard on you because, oh, you know, you were excited about it and thought it was really going to happen and it didn't happen. I'm not surprised when it doesn't personally, but, you know, I don't hold it against you. And I certainly don't hold it against you like, you know, you mentioned Greer earlier. You are not portraying yourself as, you know, the world's galactic ambassador and going out and getting people to make a telepathic contact with a vague light off in the distance. You know, I think there's a big difference between that kind of disclosure and the kind of stuff you're doing.
First of all, I don't mind criticism and I don't mind people not believing the damn thing I say. It's okay. My job is to inform people. And if enough people get the information and also engage government, things will eventually come around. But I don't know if you remember the telephone game that, you know, people don't play anymore, but when I was younger, they used to play it. You got a party, you got some people, had a couple of drinks, and there's like seven or eight of them. And so you start a story off with person A and that, you know, whisper it to them. And then that person retells the story to person B and it goes around in a circle and it comes back to the person A again.
Sure.
And the story is profoundly changed by the time it gets there, believe me. And the internet has created a worldwide global telephone game. So you give a lecture, or maybe you give an interview. Somebody hears it, blogs about it. Somebody reads the blog, puts up something on the Facebook page. Somebody then takes that, shares it with somebody else, who writes it up on a Reddit. And by the time it's gone through 9 iterations, it doesn't much resemble what they said in the first place.
I want to interrupt here and mention this parenthetically, Stephen, because you and I are old enough to remember this. Randall's just a young whippersnapper compared to us. You remember Steve Allen, right?
Sure.
Okay. Steve Allen used to do that on the stage. He'd bring up people in the audience. They'd get on stage, and he'd whisper a joke to the first person.
Right.
That person would whisper the joke to the second person. Goes through a number of generations, and as you know, the final person has said, okay, tell the joke. And that joke has no resemblance whatever. I'll bring up another point, even about stuff you read in UFO books and magazines. Kevin Randall has been doing something called chasing footnotes, where he'll trace a story that he reads in a book that sounds interesting back to the original source. And once again, even 2 or 3 generations, it picks up something or loses something in the translation. Go ahead.
In fact, Jack Parr, who replaced Allen, took this to another level, and it was hysterical. It was probably the most hysterical version of this. Jack Parr, of course, was considered one of the great talk shows of all time. He had a huge guest list. And back then, the shows were, let's just say, a little more intellectual. The guests were pretty smart people. And many, many of them were multilingual. There'd be somebody who spoke Polish and English, and somebody spoke Polish and German and French and Spanish, whatever the hell. And so he one night, he would bring on like 5 people who were multilingual. And so he would start off the joke to one of his guests in English, and then that person might know French, and then somebody else in that group knew French, and so that person would retell the joke to the other person in French, who would then retell it to somebody else who was German-French and spoke German, and then the joke would go around from language to language. By the time it came out, let me tell you, it was bizarre. And those are some of the funniest things he ever did. I love that. We didn't ask for the internet. It was delivered to us without a user manual. They just plopped it out there and said, hey, go with this. And we're still figuring it out. It has changed everything. It has changed the way people think, write, talk. Hell, I can't even write script anymore. I try to write something, and it's crap. It's worse than a 7-year-old from 1960. I don't write anymore. I just type. And it's easy to defame people, to insult people, to create hoaxes, to create chaos. and even disrupt whole elections, maybe even change who becomes president. The internet is one of them, is probably the most powerful information tool of all time. And we're a generation from actually being able to understand its power, use it appropriately. And so it's created a lot of chaos.
It's also leveled the playing field. This is what's allowed you to get out there and really promote yourself. I mean, look at the YouTube channels, and you've got your website where you can post all these articles, and people can check it out for themselves, too. So with a little bit of discretion, somebody who isn't really well-funded can really still make a pretty big splash if they just put a bit of effort in.
The best thing about the internet is made it possible for virtually anyone to express their opinions and try to influence the opinions of others. The worst thing about the internet is it's made it possible for virtually anyone to express their opinions and influence the opinions of others. So there you go.
Yeah, I guess you've got it both ways, but yeah, it's fabulous. It's, I don't even have a cable connection for my television anymore. I've got two monitors, and I spend my time on screens looking at those.
So true.
Actually, we're just coming up to another break here in the next minute or so. But after that, I'd like to get into a little bit about what you were saying before, too, about how it's important to the way that we talk about it, the understanding the difference in the different jargon, and why is it that people are so confused? And I think that the language that we use tends to confuse people, and it's part of it feeds right into this topic that you were just saying, this telephone game type thing. In other words, what we get on the news about a particular sighting or issue like this ATIP program or To the Stars isn't necessarily even what was said by the people who created it.
Well, we also have a situation, Randall, where people who watch cable news, for example, live in bubbles. You have one version catering to one political belief, another one maybe to different political beliefs or lack of beliefs, and it's very difficult to get accurate news. Of course, it's not like in the late 19th century where newspaper editors would do anything for circulation. We have Stephen Bassett, Paradigm Research Group, and we got a lot more to cover as we progress here with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.